She must realize the path is long. She needs her shoes. You are awesome worshipers. I love worshiping the Lord. The Bible says that God inhabits, dwells in, loves visiting those who worship Him. You are great worshipers. You are great worshipers. In fact, so tempting for me was to just scoot right on over to the piano and just do some more worship. But we've already worshipped. And my worship team, I just thank God. If you've seen all these little kids sitting up here, the worship team were all that small. I seen them that small. They're all my family. They're my kids. And the Bible is true that says if you train up a child in the way that he should go when he's old, he won't depart. There maybe take some off ramps or something occasionally, but that word is in there. And I promise you, God is faithful to His word. Your prayers and your desires to Him don't fall on deaf ears. He'll bring about His glory in your life as long as you speak of His glory. It's a humble privilege for me to stand before you. In the prayer room, I was praying, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. I can talk about peaches and I can talk about fruit and I talk about other stuff. But that stuff's just temporal. I want to talk about the living God. I want to shout about Yahweh. And this is about as loud as I'm going to get. I'm not a screamer. I don't run around. I'm too old for that kind of stuff now. I'm kind of like Elijah, sharing with Elijah now, this is what you should do. Let the younger people do all that fast stuff. But I tell you what, I love God. And I know God hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. So I've asked my wife. My wife teaches the ladies at our church, and she's been teaching about insecurities. And I'll be honest with you, there are times when I ask her to teach that I'm kind of like intimidated because she is an awesome teacher. And so my insecurities kind of rise up, but I just kind of step on them and hold them down as long as possible. So I ask her, I says, will you kind of just share about insecurities? Because if I feel insecure sometimes, I'm sure that maybe there's at least one or two other people that feel insecure. And God's Word talks about insecurities, and then I want to talk about your value. Because, you know, you have intrinsic value to God the Father. In fact, Jesus talks about God the Father. In fact, when he was 12 years old, he talked about God as his Father, and that he needed to be in about his Father's business. And we must be about our Father's business. And so I'm going to minister, and then our worship team is going to come back up, and they're going to do the song about We Come Unto You. What was that? The second of the, you know which one it was? Oh, it's right up here. It's one of these right here. Well, anyway, she knows. Jessica knows which one I want. She does. She's really good. She can read Dad. My wife's going to come in just a second. Bow your heads, please. Let me pray with you. Father, it is truly with a humble heart, Lord, that I stand before you people. And we want to hear, Lord God, what your word says to our hearts. So, Father, I ask you to send the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to our hearts. So, Lord, we can live by that and we can not only sing your praises, but we'll shout your name in victory when challenges come our way. You are our Lord, and we put our faith in you. We put our trust in your word, and we believe you for victory. And I want to say thanks, Lord, for another day to stand with your people and worship with your people who are awesome worshipers. And we thank you for this, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is my wife, Judy. We've been married for 36 years. We love God. We've always loved God. Even before we were married, we loved God. And she's, God knew that I would need, if there's a helpmate that comes with a capital H, she's that for me. She's that helper, that person who I would be lost with. I would be lost without her. I'm not talking about salvation. You understand that. I'm talking about salvation. But anyway, she's going to talk to you about insecurity.
Just want you to know up front, I have nothing in me that can help you in any way save Jesus Christ and what He's done in you. My prayer this morning is that He would speak through me as a vessel. Challenge, touch, and encourage you this morning. You know, one of the first truths we hear about God. Can I move some of this? There we go. One of the first truths we hear about God is that He's what? It's the thing that draws us to Him. It's when He brings us to the church, we hear it outside the church, and certainly when we come into the church. One of the first things we hear and learn is that God loves us. Which is true. So why, I want to ask a question this morning and challenge us, why is it so hard to live like we believe that truth? Why do we struggle so when we know that our foundation of our relationship with Him is that He loves us? That we struggle in this life. Sometimes it's the company that we keep. In the world, we had friends. Some of those friends, when we come to God, we leave behind. Sad to say, some of them we bring with us. One of those friends this morning I want to talk about, not a good friend, bad friend. Should have dropped him on the outside. His name is insecurity. We bring him along. We bring her along with us sometimes throughout our entire Christian life when we don't have. I want to talk just for a few moments this morning on how that old friend, insecurity, not only invades, but can affect our lives. As we walk with God. Insecurity is, it's a common foe. We've all encountered it at one time or another. Some of us more than others. Some we find as friend in it as a child. Some we find when we become a teenager or an adult, become into situations that we're unsure of. We have no answers for. But I want to bring you some hope this morning. For those who have battled with insecurity. Oh, this enemy, it's a defeated foe. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Even more than that. We know that there is no insecurity in God. When God tells us in Genesis, Chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, that we are created in His image, and in His likeness, He made us. And not only did He make us, but He made us to have dominion over everything else that He has created. Doesn't sound like we should have any insecurity in that. Somewhere along the line, we fall prey to His voice. hope this morning is if we know that insecurity doesn't come from God, it can only come from two other sources. You can think, oh, well, one. Adele. He's out there. Like I said, he's a defeated foe. You know the other source of our insecurity? This world that we live in. The things we go through. The experiences that we have. It's a fallen world. And here's the other joy. Jesus said, I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in Christ, we also have overcome the world. So on either hand, whether it's from the enemy to torment us, or if it's from our own experience in life that we've gone through, we can have victory. We don't have to be best buddies with insecurity. Turn with me, please, to Romans 8. Starting with verse 37, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In what things? Well, we find that the list of them starts in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall we not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, and as Paul said, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You see, we really do have the victory. The enemy wouldn't like us to know that. The world will tell us we don't. You poor thing. Look what you went through. No wonder you're the way you are. It's okay. This, we understand. God's like, I am so much bigger and better, so much more freedom for you. I'm going to look at a few roots. We can't battle an enemy if we don't know where it comes from. And just to say that it comes from the devil isn't enough. There are, again, those experiences or those sources in life that we go through that can root down, they send down roots into our lives of insecurity, instability in the home. Maybe some of you have gone through the wolves, your parents, separation, abuse. Whatever rocks your world as a child or even as an adult. Significant loss. Maybe you've lost a partner. A lifelong friend. Someone very, very close to you. For a child, it could be a pet. I was devastated when I came home one day and found my father trying to revive my pet rabbit. Who I had for like 10 years. My brother's dog had been exercising itself and chased my rabbit around and around and around in the yard till my poor rabbit just gave out. Dog didn't chew him, it didn't maul him, he just literally chased him and he died of fear. I was devastated. But I've gone on. There's rejection sometimes that comes in our life. Close friends. Siblings. Parents. spouse. We have changes that come into our lives, sometimes good, whether it be a car accident or something that dramatically changes our lifestyle. It can also be good changes. Sometimes the birth of a child, the starting of a new dynamic in our life. We have our own personal limitations. You know, we're not all that perfect model, ladies. Some of you out here look like you could be that. I'm not. We want to be perfect. We want to just meet the standard. For men in the culture, it says you need to be successful. You need to be able to bring in all the money you need to provide for your family. You need to be just on top of your world. Sometimes our own physical limitations keep us from that. I used to be able to run. That'd be a laugh right now. It's just not there anymore. We change. Sometimes it's our own bent in life, our personal dispositions, our temperament. Look at any child. We have four in our family. One of them is the same. They all were unique. Our culture, like I said, for women, we are bombarded daily by the TV and the ads and the things around us saying you have to conform to this image and you have to be this pretty and you have to be this skinny and you have to look like this and you have to be able to handle all the children at home and work in the workplace and just have it all together and be there for your husband at night and have all the energy that you need. For those that aren't married, you've just got to be all that and just perfect for everyone to see at any time, day or night. That's not reality. But that's our culture. For men, like I said, it's to be successful. It's to be the CEO of their company. It's to be on top. Got it all together. Never fall apart. Never lose your temper. Patient. Gentle. Soft-spoken. The last root I want to talk about is pride. You might say, well, that's an oxymoron. How can pride be with insecurity? It doesn't make sense. Isn't that just like the opposite? If you're proud of yourself, then you would have all the confidence. I'm talking about the sin of pride. When all of our focus and all of our attention is on us and how we measure up to those around us. See, that's a deep root. Sometimes we don't even see. It goes unnoticed. We can call the other experiences to memory. Not too often do we call up our own ego and have God deal with it. The driving force, just like the rain that allows the ground to soften and the roots go down deep, the driving force of our insecurities is fear. Fear. What if in that loss, I have another one? What if in that instability, I've just got my household back together, and what if it falls apart again? What if I lose my job? What am I going to do? What if I can't measure up to what the world says I need to be? You know, sometimes it's sad, but even in the church, we put restrictions and we put up ideals. And we say, you're a Christian. You've got this. And you've got to act like this. And anything outside of that, God, did you see them? Yeah. Even in the church, we do this. Fear drives those roots down deep. But I want to let you know is love of God. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, peace, love, and a sound mind." So if God hasn't given it to us, we shouldn't need it. Amen?
Yeah.
We don't need it. We need to work on letting it go. Women, you cannot derive, young and old alike, your worth from a man. It's not there. Don't go looking for it there. You'll be disappointed. He has his own expectations. You will not find who you are, all your worth, wrapped up in a man. Any more than a man will find his manhood all wrapped up in a woman. If they do, they're going to be sorely disappointed. Because those relationships, they're human. They fail us. They disappoint us. When we give that much power over ourselves to others and their opinions of us, it's a never-ending spiral downward. Beware of that trap. Should I care what he thinks about me? Oh, yes, and I do. But my self-worth isn't wrapped up all of it in him. It's in the one who loved me before he knew me. It's in the one who made me who I am. It is the one that formed me in my mother's womb, even before they knew I was there and what I would be. It is my maker. And he calls me beautiful. And he calls me lovely. And he says, "You're worth it. You're so worth it. I'm going to die for you even when before you call my name." That's who our self-worth is in. That's who yours should be in. Let's get our focus on what matters. The root of pride, that ego within ourselves, so much front and center, it just brings us right here. We waste so much time wondering if we're prettier, if we're more accomplished than those around us. Oh, and watch out when we run into that person who is, and by far has us outnumbered in all those areas, when they are prettier and when they are more accomplished and they have it all together. And we come up against that individual and they outrank us in every area. We just go stroke in a corner somewhere. Or if we get mad at it, despise it, and talk about it, we can't handle it. Our ego is bruised. Everything becomes about us. And when we can't see past ourselves to notice the real hurt and the needs in those around us, of our spouse, of our children, of our brothers and sisters in Christ, within our family, even our parents, those of us that are blessed to still have an open mind of going on to heaven. Pride talks us out of forgiving. Pride steers us away from risking ourselves. Pride cheats us out of intimacy. Because in order to have intimacy, we have to have transparency. And when insecurity is your friend, you don't want anybody to see inside. So you cover it up. And you clothe it with all types of activities and attitudes. How tragic a family relationship can become when we let pride set in. Ladies, this might hurt a little bit. Get ready. You don't want your toes stepped on. Pull them under. But I'm going to stand here because as a woman, I know this hurts. Common signs of insecurity within women. You might not have experienced all of them for yourself, but I'm sure you've probably seen them in others. Nagging. Self-doubt. Self-loathing. Oh, I'm never going to be there. Never going to be pretty enough. Never going to be that model shape. Seeking constant approval. Validation. Oh, we women, we need that. We need validation for who we are and what we've done. And the need for constant reassurance. Ouch. I've been there. I know those feelings. I have them. I deal with them. Asking God to shed those from me through the light of His Word. Truth about it, women. Men get tired of trying to keep up with meeting all of those needs. How many times do I have to tell her I love her in the day for her to understand I love her just the way she is? How many times do I have, honey, that dress looks great? You did a good job. You did a good job. And don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to uplift and to validate. But when that driving need within a woman is constantly pulling emotionally from those around her, does it get tiring?
Mm-hmm.
Say amen.
Amen.
You know, I speak from experience. They get tired of it. It wearies them. They don't understand. I told her I loved her when I married her. If things change, I let her know. Women need a little bit more than that, okay? Once a day, they're good. Okay, guys, you're next. You ready? Common signs for insecurity in men. Women, clue in on there. Might be news to you. Withdrawal. Did I ever get quiet on you? Just kind of pulls away. What is the first thing we do? What's wrong, honey? Talk to me. What's wrong? What's the problem? Can I fix it? Because we really want to. Get the hint, woman. Young girl. For those of you that aren't even married yet, for those of us that are, those of us that have been there, they will make space for themselves in one way or another. When a guy is insecure, he's going to either shut down, withdraw, and if that doesn't do it and you don't get the hint, then they're going to make space. They will push you away in some form or another. They will become irritated. They will become agitated. They may even be downright angry and grumpy to the point where you're finally saying, fine. I can't help you. You won't let me in. I'll just leave you alone. You know what? They're saying, amen! Thank God that woman is just out of my hair for a minute. So I can sit here and think about myself. Truth be known, guys, women view this kind of action. Once they kind of clue in, pouting, tantrum throwing. Were your wives not your mothers? We get tired too, trying to put up and trying to understand. But I'm telling you, if we see past the actions that we all do and realize it may be insecurity in him, it may be insecurity in me, and we look beyond ourselves and we say, there's a need. Why is he insecure? Why is she insecure? How can I help her or him get to the root and to expose so we can pray and let God heal? I'm going to tell you how to get the victory. I'm going to close. I'm going to turn it over to my mom. Start, especially with pride and repentance. That's right. Pride is a sin. When we're so self-focused and it's all about us, we need to repent. We need to repent before God, and we need to repent before those that we have poured ourselves out on. We need to make it right, and then we need to follow that with transparency. We need to be open and honest so that God can get in there. Just like, well, if you buy the Roundup at the store, it's kind of diluted. There's some stuff out there, I think called Gall. Is it Gall?
Gall.
Oh man, that stuff works. Just spray just a little bit, man, go right down to the end of that root container. Transparency in God's love will do that if we allow it, His Word. We allow the truth of His Word to get down into the root. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now by faith, hope, love. These three. Christ in them is love. Let the love of God, that very first truth that brought you to Christ, dwell so richly in you. And not only do you believe it, but you live like you believe.
Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus seen the multitude, and he realized that the disciples had this task of speaking into their lives. And you know, it's the Sermon on the Mount, and blessed are those that hunger, and talks about all the blessings. But I want to deal with chapter 6, where Jesus began to point the finger at some of the issues that the disciples might be struggling with. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and it talks about worry. Jesus would have been an awesome farmer if that was what his calling was. But his calling was to plow the hearts of men and women. And he did it with the word of his Father. And he says, whatever I've done, you've seen the Father do. Or whatever you've seen me do, it's because I've seen the Father do it. And he realized that he was dealing with a bunch of men that were struggling with worldly things that happened in their lives on a daily basis. And that because of worry has a way of separating us from victory. It has a way of causing us somehow to be filled with anxiety, to be filled with worry. And it's God's Word that brings peace. That's what gives us the boldness when we come to God and we ask God for help in a certain situation. We can pray that prayer of faith. And we can begin declaring that we have victory in that area. And that's because we know that God the Father loves us. And it's His love. It's when Jesus came, it was the love of the Father that was displayed in Christ. We see the love of the Father many times in Jesus' life, like when Lazarus was killed and Mary and Martha and Prince said, oh Lord, if you would have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. Well, how about when Jesus goes to the well and these religious people caught this lady that was, the Bible says, caught in the very act of adultery, and they challenge Jesus and say, well, you know, Moses said we should stone her. What do you say? And you know the story. Jesus says, those of you without any sin, cast the first stone. Yeah, if you got any sin, cast the first stone. And the Bible says Jesus wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote. It's really irrelevant. The fact of the matter was that Jesus was, well, it's not irrelevant, but the fact of the matter is this, that Jesus was displaying the heart of God the Father. God loves you. In fact, Jessica quoted earlier Romans chapter 8 verse 5, it says this, that in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Paul says, I die daily. So Paul knew there was an issue with him and sin and him and straying from God. And he would say, he said that he dies daily. And I think the reason that you and I find so much relief when we worship, when we read God's Word, is because God's Word is not here to tell you how bad you are, but to tell you how free you can be. In fact, I was driving to church this morning, and I thought to myself, wow, I was going to say, this is what God said. You know, when you were a kid, and I remember as a kid, I would go to my brothers or sisters and say, you know what, Dad said this. And whenever our brothers or sisters said that, it kind of struck fear in us, or kind of caused us to be, and you know, God said this. He says, I love you. Well, in fact, in Matthew chapter 6, he says this, verse 25. He says, therefore I say unto you, verse 25, he says this, therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on it, is not food more, or is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then Jesus says this, I own a peach orchard. And Jesus makes this comment about the birds that I've been in my peach orchard. All of a sudden this robin flies out of a tree, and I think to myself, wow, there must be a bird nest up there. And Jesus makes this, he makes this lesson out of this bird flying, and he says this, he says, look at the birds. They don't sow, and they don't reap. Yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. It's almost like Jesus is saying, so, what good are they? It's not that he was discouraging or even talking down about the birds of creation, because we realize that it's important, because birds will eat a seed here and take a seed there, and they kind of seed things, and birds have, you know, they have a purpose. The fact was that Jesus was using something natural that the disciples were wondering about, or wondering how they were going to fit into this grand scheme of Jesus the Messiah and evangelizing the world and talking with people. And Jesus says, wait a second here. You're worrying too much. Sometimes when we are confronted with sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, we want to say the perfect word, we want to quote the perfect verse, and if we start quoting this verse, and, oh wait, I didn't remember all of it, then we get all nervous. Listen. Don't worry about sharing Christ. In fact, the Word of God says something like this, to let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify God which is in heaven. It is the Father's desire to bless your life. It is the Father's desire that you not worry. We know all the little cliches about worry ages us, and worry does this, and worry does this, and worry does this. Jesus was just very simple. He says, you know what? God loves the birds and He feeds them, but how much, He says this here, are you not of more value than the birds? Yeah. survey. Who in here is more important than a robin? Oh, well, let me use a different word. How many of you in here is more important than a buzzard? Yeah, that's the perspective. I know it's all about perspective. Jesus said the birds are great. God loves them and feeds them, but you're more valuable. And this is what God said. You and you and you are valuable to God. He cherishes you. He loves you. He loves it when you come and talk with Him. He absolutely loves it. Our worship team's going to come in like 10 seconds. I'm telling you what. Insecurities. Really hinder us from serving God. And I realize we struggle with those. But I'm telling you what, if you apply God's Word, I promise you this, God's Word will never let you down. You may not be able to explain it. You may not totally understand it. But I promise you, God's Word will not let you down. Your prayers will not go unheard by God. You cannot sin enough for God to say, I don't like you anymore. If you reject Christ, you'll end up in hell. But when I'm talking about sin, I'm talking about the thing you and I, there are some times every day that I've got to catch myself and say, wow, you got to love that person. Yeah. Yeah, there's a man right now that I have to tell myself, you know, forgiveness is a choice that we make. You choose to forgive. It's not a feeling, and it's not an emotion. You don't make forgiveness decisions out of emotion. You make them out of a decision. I choose to forgive this person. There was a guy who offended me a couple of weeks ago that just made me, just amped me up, rocked my world, made me mad, and I'm just like, I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I'm going to ignore him the next time I see him. I'm not going to talk to him if he calls me. I'm going to say this and this and this. And I just felt the Holy Spirit going, you've got to forgive. And get this. But that's sin. That's sin. But I tell you what Paul said. Paul said that when we need grace, we can go boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy in time of need. Yeah. Am I still over it? I'm over it right this second. I am. I'm over it right this second. When I leave and if I see him again, oh Lord, please give me grace. Please help me fulfill. Yeah, because I still struggle with it. Because, I mean, he said some pretty harsh words to me. And my pride got wounded. And sometimes our pride has a way of resurrecting itself. And God says for me to pray for people who despitefully use me or say all manner of evil against me. The Bible, Jesus said, pray for them. Pray for them. I pray for myself, but the Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus, so that I can be good. Because you know what? How sad would it be if I get to heaven and the guy stands before God and says, I would have accepted Christ, but this guy was a pastor because he knows I'm a pastor. This guy's supposed to be a pastor. He was really hateful, so I figured that whatever he was saying was wrong. And Jesus says something like, well, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. How bad would I feel? Oh, for eternity? So I'm telling you, God demonstrated His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And listen, if you kind of like keep score of your sins each day, don't beat yourself up. Don't beat yourself up. Throw that thing away. When you realize that you've sinned, when you realize that you've Just ask God for forgiveness right there. Just ask God for forgiveness. Because listen, forgiveness at that point can heal that broken heart, can heal that wound much easier than letting it fester and fester. Sad to say, I let that fester. I let it fester. And so now the devil exploits that area of my life. So the true healing will be when I'm confronted with him face to face. Yeah. And I've already been practicing what I'm going to say. Man, it is so good to see you. Yeah. So, make sure you brag on him about God. Yeah. Because I'm telling you, God's the healer. God is our healer. And listen, the song that they're going to sing is about we come with our arms open. Remember the song we sang earlier? God's waiting for you to come with your arms just open. I'm running to you, Lord. I'm running to you. Kind of like a child when it's hurt. Yesterday we were in the store and the mom ran over a kid's foot with the shopping cart. And the kid screaming, ah! The flip-flop came off and the mom ran over and the kid was running there and the kid just opened up the arms and the mom picked up the child. And I think to myself, when you and I get wounded, God doesn't even wait for you to open your arms, come running to him. He starts coming to you because sometimes we're just wounded and we're hurt, and sometimes we just need God to come and wrap his arms around us and love us. I'm telling you, be quick to go to God. Be quick to go to God. Don't keep score of the wrongs that you do. But I'm telling you what, determined to serve God. Determined to love him. Because those anxieties, those worries, those letdowns, those disappointments all fade in the glory of God. You know, when you're worshiping God, I don't know about you, but when we worship God, it's like, I forget about all the insecurities that I have.